Welcome to North Shore News and Interviews on Amherst Island Radio. Each week, we keep you updated on newsworthy events, happenings, and conversations that we've had with people in the local community and beyond.
Loyalist Township is once again partnering with the Odessa Agricultural Society to bring Halloween fun to families at the 4th Annual Trunk or Treat and Crafts event. On Sunday, October 26th, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Odessa Fairgrounds located at 231 Main Street, Odessa, there will be an afternoon of free, family-friendly festivities. Local businesses and organizations will be showcasing their creativity with decorated vehicles of all shapes and sizes. Children are invited to trick-or-treat from trunk to trunk in a safe, accessible, and spook-free outdoor environment. This event takes place rain or shine. Inside, the Odessa Agricultural Society will be hosting a variety of festive activities, including Halloween-themed games, crafts, and a cash canteen. Loyalist Township noted they're proud to collaborate with the Lennox and Addington Joint Accessibility Advisory Committee and Treat Accessibility to ensure the event is inclusive and welcoming for everybody. For more information, visit loyalist.ca/trunk or treat. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. On Monday, October 20th, from 1 to 3 p.m., Loyalist Township will be celebrating the grand opening of the new Downey Wenjack Fund Legacy Space at the W.J. Henderson Community Center. Following this ceremony, the Legacy Space will be open to the public. This space is part of a national program created by the Gord Downey and Shawnee Wenjack Fund. These spaces are designed to be safe, welcoming spaces where people can learn about Indigenous cultures, reflect on shared journeys, and take part in meaningful conversations about reconciliation. The opening celebration will include a ribbon cutting, welcoming remarks from local leaders and representatives of the fund, as well as guided tours of the new space. Visitors will have the chance to see exhibits featuring Indigenous art, artifacts, storytelling, and a local school project. There will also be a cultural performance and opportunities to speak with Indigenous elders, township staff, and members of the Downey Wenjack Fund. In July 2024, the township signed a 5-year agreement with the Downey Wenjack Fund to create this legacy space. This space will offer ongoing opportunities for residents to participate in workshops, cultural activities, and public education. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Westbridge Renewable Energy has recognized there's still work to be done in gaining public support for their proposed solar farm in Loyalist Township. The company has committed to undertake Indigenous and community engagement activities and incorporate the feedback as the project moves forward. Chief Operating Officer for the company and Vice President of Switzerville Solar, Margaret McKenna, explains where they're at with the project.
During consultation, we've heard positive, we've heard negative, and we've heard constructive. We believe most of that can be incorporated, mitigated, or overcome in future planning and design. There is work to be done still, and we acknowledge that. We believe that the project will have a positive impact on the community and the township as a whole, while also contributing clean emission-free energy to support Ontario's future.
While still showing support for the project, council is making sure the company does their due diligence. Development Services Manager with the Township, Andrea Furness, details some of the environmental work that will need to be done.
As part of the planning application, we would require an environmental impact assessment on that property. There is environmental protection lands going through the property, traversing the property through the water course. So that would be a requirement. We would they would have to address everything on species at risk habitat, wildlife habitat. All of that would have to be looked at by an ecologist. And the township uses a third party peer reviewer to evaluate that as well, determine if there's impacts, and to help form how any development can occur on the site without negatively impacting any natural heritage features and their ecological functions.
Deputy Mayor Nathan Townend noted council's position.
There are some concerns. The proponent recognized that there is homework yet to be done, and I think there's a recognition that council wants to ensure that that homework is done.
Council passed a resolution in support of the company at their latest meeting to help with the company's bid for federal funding. At an August 25th open house regarding the project, there were various concerns from residents in regards to communication, groundwater, and the potential to destroy wildlife habitat. Councillor Paul Proderick speaks about the importance of public engagement and moving towards clean energy options in the future.
We've been down this road before, and I think back early in our term of council, we asked staff to develop a policy in terms of engagement, and they followed that rather extensively. You know, clean energy, it in my judgment, that's the direction we should be taking. It fits into our climate action plan.
Councillor Lorna Willis sympathized with those voicing concerns, but spoke about the importance of moving forward as well.
I do know what it's like to live within a project space. Although, you know, I am supporting the motion because I do agree that we do have to do our part to move forward with green energy in the township.
The proposed project would be located on approximately 800 acres of private land near Switzerville and would be capable of supplying energy to 20,000 homes. The target operation date is May 2030. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. A clean energy company looking to build an energy storage center in Loyalist promised the project would bring 670 direct construction jobs and 40 permanent jobs to the area. HydroStore presented their plans for creating the Quinty Energy Storage Center to Loyalist Township Council. The proposed site is on a portion of an already existing industrial aggregate site near the intersection of County Road 22 and Town Line Road. Staff with the company noted that each phase of the project will provide over $1.4 billion in economic benefits to Ontario, including the boost in local jobs. The company will also be making long-term direct contributions to the township and county through a community benefits fund. Vice President of Business Development with HydroStore, Shahir Aziz, explains the project and why they chose the area.
The Quinty Energy Storage Center is a energy storage project that we have been working on for the past couple of years in Lennox and Addington County. The reason why we are so attracted to this location is that we want to be adjacent to the Lennox Transformer Station, which is a critical transformer station in the province of Ontario. It allows for power to transfer east towards Ottawa, as well as transferring power west towards Toronto when needed.
Aziz speaks about the jobs the project looks to bring to the area.
We are a long-term infrastructure project. What that means is that we actually need to be constructed on-site and on the ground, which is really good for boosting local economy as well as regional economy. Our project will create approximately 670 full-time construction jobs, as well as 40 jobs once it's actually operating. And what's really exciting about these jobs is that these job opportunities, once operating, are not, you know, jobs that need to come away from, take away from any industry, but rather repurposing jobs that come out of the fossil fuel generation space. We're going to be driving local benefits to both the local Indigenous communities, as well as working with your township to see what opportunities for our project to really work and contribute to the community.
Aziz highlights the work they've been doing in the area.
We've been working on two sites in this area. With one of the sites we'd like to call Quinty East, the location of the site, proposed site, is on the northern end of an existing quarry located on an industrial aggregate site in Loyalist. We have been able to screen the site from a desktop environmental screening perspective, as well as conduct studies to understand the interconnection capacity and start to move ahead with some of the feasibility and development of the site. We have also partnered with the Mohawks of the Bay of Quinty, who are our First Nation Indigenous partners for the project and are supporting us on our journey ahead.
Aziz details the technology that HydroStore uses.
Our technology is one of the lowest cost, long duration energy storage technologies available today, and it operates emissions free. What else is also really unique about our technology is that it has a 50-year plus operating life without any degradation. That's really helpful because it means that we aren't repeatedly refurbishing our storage project, and instead it operates like any other. You could compare it to a pump storage plant, which is online for 50-100 years and doesn't require any major replacements.
Aziz details HydroStore's process for generating electricity.
The way our technology works is that you take electricity from the grid when power is cheap or in excess. You use that to compress air underground into an underground cavern. During that process, as you are compressing air, we actually take heat and we store it into a thermal management system. That heat is being generated when you're compressing air underground. Once the system is fully charged, the air pushes all the water out of the cavern and holds in steady state. When you then need to discharge your to generate electricity, you flip a valve, the water pushes the air out, the air goes up our well and through our turbine generating electricity.
One of the primary engineers with HydroStore, Lucas Texan, explains how the company builds its caverns and notes the rock formations in the area.
We site our caverns specifically to be in very impermeable rock formations that are not suitable for hosting water. It's one of our siting criteria. The rock that is in this area is excellent for that case. It has very low hydraulic permeability once you're below the karst formation, below that limestone and into the Canadian Shield, which is where we would target to build our caverns. Our construction shafts, which will travel from the surface down to our cavern construction horizon, are cased with the steel casing to ensure there's no interaction between our A-case process and the groundwater.
Aziz speaks more about how the project will benefit the province, country, and local economy as well.
We're also going to be generating approximately $1.4 billion in support of Canada's GDP, and also once operating about $31 million per year in GDP. We've also been started engagement with Loyalist's town planning team, and who've guided us towards your requirements for community engagement and a pathway towards municipal support resolution. And so we will be engaging following Loyalist's requirements and doing our best efforts to engage with the community and proceeding ahead with that as we look to move forward.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. All sides have backed down and agreed to work together after the town of Greater Napanee was warned about potential legal action from the county. Lennox and Addington originally requested that the town cease distributing its encampment protocol map that identified public property, including county lands. Greater Napanee Council confirmed a letter they received September 9th from the county states that Lennox and Addington does not intend to pursue any further legal remedy to the disputes that existed. The letter also noted that the county would pass its own bylaw regarding the matter at hand. CAO of Greater Napanee, Matthew Grant, explains the timeline of events.
I'm pleased to say that we're now at a place where I kind of wish we had started, but we did receive correspondence from the County of Lennox and Addington. It is their intention to pursue their own bylaw. We did send a letter to the County of Lennox and Addington following our last meeting. We offered to assist them in their bylaw. I'm happy to share that we've already made that offer to the Chief Administrative Officer of the county, as well as the head administrative head of Pelis. And we sent a note to the County of Lennox and Addington as they are identified by the Ministry of Municipal Affairs as the service manager accountable for service delivery. And we also sent a note to Pelis, and the mayor sent one to the Pelis chair, as the operational service provider.
Grant explains the latest recommendation he made to council, which they approved at their meeting.
I'm recommending that we offer use of our facilities in the community and that council authorize staff to waive any fees that we might charge so that when they engage in consultation, as we engage in consultation, that they can do so with whatever facilities at our disposal that they feel will fit their plan.
Grant details how staff are moving forward.
Council and staff look forward to putting this unfortunate incident behind us. And, you know, I know that, you know, staff are very much looking forward to proceeding forward with our partners with mutual respect and mutual support. With that in mind, we are pleased to assist with any upcoming consultations, bylaw development, or activities with the summit. Any of the ongoing efforts of the, you know, provincially funded and mandate organizations responsible for housing and homelessness.
Mayor Terry Richardson notes the importance of working together while trying to help unhoused individuals and families.
We've got to move on from this. We have to work together to try and resolve a multifaceted problem that exists in every municipality in this country and probably in this continent. So if we don't, we're going to continue to spin our wheels, and the people that we're supposed to be representing are not going to be represented.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News.
This has been North Shore News and Interviews. If you have an idea for a story or want to create stories for this show, consider joining our 100% volunteer team. Contact Amherst Island Radio for more details.